This morning you're invited to open your Bibles, the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Again, that's the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command a stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give the glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, about 2 Sundays ago, Clint asked me how far in advance I plan out my sermons. And I said, 5 months. And he goes, I went, "Oh." And I said, "I'm just kidding." Okay. I said, "I have a general outline in my head." I said, "This time of year is kind of easy because, you know, I'm thinking, okay, October is going to be a Reformation, Martin Luther sermon. The first Sunday in November, I'm going to do one about All Saints Sunday and Jesus being the resurrection of life. And then at the end of November, I'll do one about giving thanks. And then about that time is Advent. And then I do my sermon series going through the Gospels of Luke and Matthew. And I follow through, and in January, usually we have the sermon about the wise men, and then we got Jesus growing up, and then last time we had about his baptism, when he first appears as an adult. And then after that, I'm kind of like, well, you know, what am I going to speak on between now and Palm Sunday, you know? But there's so much to pick from the Gospels, and I don't want to, you know, do repeats. Well, I did last year, and last year I did a series on the 7 miracles out of the Gospel of John. And I thought, well, I think this year I'll do something a little different. I've been doing one about the tempter. But then I made a mistake of being on the internet. Okay. And I about forgot to print this off this morning. And so that's one of the reasons I was running a little late. No sooner I turned that laptop off from printing off the stuff for the funeral, I was like, oh, snap, I meant to print some other stuff off. Because I thought, well, you know, I've given a little sermon about the devil every year since I've been there. Maybe it's time to change it up, you know. But then this past week, there was a news item that came out of a city meeting in Nevada. Nevada County Commission meeting, a individual by the name of Jason Miller rose because he was the person who was on the schedule to give the opening prayer. And his opening prayer said, "The new age is dawning, that these decisions will play a role in." And then he used some Latin. And then said, "For our liberation, for here and now is the day of our joy. Here and now is our opportunity. May we seize this glorious day and its enchanting nights to celebrate the wonders of the natural world as we are all part of its boundless mysteries. And then, instead of closing with the usual amen, he closes with, Hail Satan, the eternal rebel. And then, over here, we have the After School Satan Club. Hey kids, let's have fun at the After School Satan Club. The Satanic Temple is a non-theistic religion that views Satan as a literary figure who represents a metamorphical construct of rejecting tyranny and championing the human mind and spirit. After School Satan Club does not attempt to convert children to any religious ideology. Instead, the Satanic Club, the Satanic Temple, supports children to think for themselves. All After School Satan Clubs are based on activities centered around the seven fundamental tenets and emphasize a scientific, rationalistic, non-superstitious worldview. And this will include science projects, community service projects, puzzles and games, nature activities, arts and crafts, snacks. And this will be at the Chimney Rock Elementary from 4:30 to 5:30. Location, the library. Sponsored by the Satanic Temple and Reason Alliance. And this, I have a disclaimer here, this activity is not endorsed or sponsored by Memphis Shelby County Schools. This is from Tennessee. And I thought, my, how times have changed. You know, and so I was kind of curious. I was like, well, who is this much? And when you go to this particular crew, they, on their Facebook site, makes it clear that we don't believe in a god or a devil, but we think of him as a literary character, and we're very non-theistic. Okay. Oh. And I just thought, man, that devil, he's been busy. And he gets more and more creative as the centuries go by. I thought, now we have folks who come to a county commission meeting and who says on their website, we don't believe in God or a devil, but then turns around and says a prayer that says, Hail Satan, as though, I'm like, well, is he or is he not there, you know? And over here we got a After School club that sounds interesting. Science projects, community service projects, puzzles and games, nature activities, arts and crafts, and snacks. I mean, that sounds like VBS, doesn't it? And yet, why do they call themselves the After School Satan Club? I mean, if you're going to do a club about science and arts, surely you can do something better than that. At least a STEM fair club. Okay. And so the fact is that the techniques changed from year to year. But Jesus, being fully human, he had to wrestle and be tempted by the devil. And if you think the devil has went into early retirement, the evidence suggests he has not retired. He is just as busy now as he was back then. He's just a little more slick how he does things. So let's look at this. We got Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's been baptized, and then the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Remember our prayer talking about being in the wilderness for 40 days. That's kind of symbolic how the people of Israel wandered around the desert with Moses for 40 years. And that whole time he was tempted by the devil, and he became very hungry. Now, who is the devil? Well, the devil, according to what I understand from the Bible, used to be a high up angel, if you will, who rebelled against the Lord, got kicked out of heaven, and now he's here on earth causing chaos. The fact is that God is in control of all things, but he's also given human beings a certain amount of free choice to make decisions. That's why you see verses like from Moses says, Behold, I set before you life and death, choose life you may live. Or Joshua, and he said, Choose this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But there's also a third entity involved with this. There is on this planet an evil entity who is in rebellion against God's will. And he is enticing all of us in different forms and ways to join him in this rebellion. You may recall in the Gospel of John, Jesus at one point says, "The prince of this world is coming, and I must leave, for we have nothing in common." And we mean prince by this world. He's talking about the devil, not the king, but a prince. The fact that he has so much chaos going on in this world. This was enemy territory. And Jesus came in. His coming in was kind of like in World War II on D-Day, the first wave of the great invasion to liberate Europe. And Jesus came to liberate this world from the clutches of the devil. And you may recall how Peter, when he was preaching that great sermon to Cornelius, the centurion said how Jesus went about healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. So even though there might be a group on Facebook who will tell you that the devil is a literary figure, a metaphorical figure, the scripture is clear that he is a real person, a real entity. And I'm afraid in our society that we don't take him seriously. Old folks used to say, "Give the devil his due." And there's a little verse in the book of Jude. Judah, he's a brother of Jesus. And he writes this, verse 9. "But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil and disputed about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a condemnation of slander against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" And what that's referring to, there is a story in Jewish folklore about when Moses died, there was the archangel Michael was there to bury his body. Remember, no one saw Moses die on the mountain. And the devil shows up. And the devil was given all these reasons why Moses was not worthy of burial. But Michael, the archangel, did not insult the devil. He just simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee. Go on your way." In other words, you need to give the devil a level of respect. Now, and I think how in our society, at Halloween time, when these adults run around dressed in red and pitchforks and horns and little pointed tails, and I think, "Oh, honey, you don't know what you're messing with. You're making fun of somebody who is real. That's like being dressed like Hitler. Don't be doing that." Okay? And we live in a society that C.S. Lewis warned about in his book, The Screwtape Letters. A society that does not believe in the devil, but yet is interested in him. And you're seeing that with these little non-theistic groups that say we're satanic, but we actually don't believe in the devil. Well, let's look how Jesus handled this rascal. First, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Now, Jesus is hungry. The devil says, "Turn out a loaf and bread." Stone to a loaf of bread. And Jesus responds, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now, you say, what's the difference between turning stone into bread versus turning water into wine? And that's a good question. And if you read the book Miracles by C.S. Lewis, he answers the question. When it rains, the water falls down on the vineyards. The vine plants produce grapes. The grapes are later harvested, they're crushed. You get the juice from them, and later they become wine. So you can draw a direct line from water to wine. All Jesus did was speed up the process. But as any farmer will tell you, you cannot go from stones to bread. Stones don't become wheat and become bread. And so it was really abusing his divine power to do something that was not natural. And so Jesus said, "It is written." Well, then the devil takes him up in an instant. And show him all the kingdoms of the world and says, "To you I will give their glory and all authority, for it's been given to me that I give to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Now remember, Jesus in John's gospel referred to Satan being the prince of this world. So I don't think there was idle talk. And you may recall, for example, in the book of Daniel, Daniel was praying about a vision, and finally an angel appeared to him and said, "Daniel, I'm here. I tried to get here earlier, but the spirits of Babylon was keeping me out." And so God sent the archangel Michael to clear a path. You see, Babylon was a pagan country to worship idols. And you will discover when it comes to idol worship, oftentimes there is something demonic going on behind the scenes. Now, I think if Jesus had taken this offer, he would have succeeded. He would have gotten that. I think the devil would rearrange world history to where Jesus would have been a great warrior, conquered lots of countries, and he would live, and then he would die, and then he'd be just one more Alexander the Great, one more Julius Caesar, one more Muhammad, one more Napoleon, just one more name in history. But Jesus didn't fall for it. He said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Well, that's strike two. Then the devil takes him to Jerusalem, top of the temple, and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." And then look what Satan does. He read the same verses that you all read just a few moments ago. Psalms 91. "For God giveth angels charge over you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Did you realize the devil knew his Bible too? He probably knows it better than the rest of us do. He's been at it longer. And Jesus said, "It is written, you shall not test the Lord your God." I remember occasion I was at the Walmart in Sweetwater, and these young men were out there, and they approached me and asked me to buy a CD. And I said, "What kind of CD is this? There's some songs written about." And of course, I wasn't interested in that, but I made conversation with them. I said, "They don't have any curse words in there, dude." And he said, "Well, we got some curse words in there." And I said, "Well, guys, that's not my gig. I don't listen to that." I said, "I don't listen to songs about curse words or being mean to women or about drug use." And that pricked their ear. And I said, "Our song's got drug use, but man, it's all right, though." I said, "Well, how's that?" He said, "Well, the way we see it, if it's natural, God gave it to us for us to use it." I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from young people. There's some older folks who should know better. It's natural. God gave us for us to use it. And so I just use them the same thing I use for the young people. I said, "You like rattlesnakes? They're natural." "Oh, no, man, I don't touch no snakes." I said, "What's the difference then?" You know, now I do know doctors can use the venom of certain snakes for cures and such. And I suspect the doctors probably use some of these drugs for a good use. But we don't use that stuff because it's natural to abuse our bodies. And just because the Lord gives us a protection plan, saying he will send his angels to protect us, does not mean we abuse it. This idea that we put ourselves in a dangerous situation to test the Lord, like he's our butler, we don't do that. And then, so when the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until he had an opportune time. Three times Satan came to Jesus. Strike one, strike two, strike three. And each time Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Guess what your ammo is when the devil comes against you? This Bible. When you have this Bible, and as it says in the Psalms, "I will hide your words into my heart that I may not sin against God." You know, we're going to face temptations. And we sung songs about Father Long that said, "Tempt and try, we're often made to wonder." And we sang Sweet Hour of Prayer about how an oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, Sweet Hour of Prayer. The song Stand By Me, though the force of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. So I encourage this morning, one, be sure to give the devil his due. No. Paul said, no, be on alert. Your devil is roaming around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And I think the evidence is clear. He has become more and more obvious about that. And two, when you are facing temptation, fight back by quoting the scriptures. Well, you know, it's okay to tell a little white lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. It's okay to cheat. It is written, thou shalt not steal. It's okay to want your neighbor's new car. It is written, thou shalt not covet. When the devil comes by tempting, don't argue with him about it. Like I said in the book of Judah, I couldn't argue. He just said, the Lord rebuke thee. When the devil comes with his temptations, you just rebuke him in the name of the Lord and say, it is written. And in its case, close. And as it says in the book of James, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. Thanks be to God. Amen.